any church that we can fellowship with in our area. I'm talking about churches that stands for the truth of the Word of God, the independent Baptist churches. There's a lot of them around that call themselves independent, but I don't know of another church any closer than 40 miles that actually thinks and believes that the church is a local body, that observes the Lord's Supper as a local body. And there's a man came to our church and united there back a few years ago, and he came to that area and he called the pastors and the churches and all around there, and he said he couldn't find any of them, and they didn't believe that the Baptist church was going to be the bride of Christ. So we're sitting there amongst all of that only by the grace of God. That's what we want to talk to you about this morning. The grace of God. Thankful for the invitation to come and preach. Thankful for Brother Tim Hilly that is keeping us in our home. Thankful for these wonderful messages that God has spoke to His servants. And it's really a great blessing to be able to sit under the preaching of true men of God and hear the truth that we're the Lord. We want to read some scripture in the book of Hebrews this morning, in the 4th chapter of the book of Hebrews, beginning in the 14th verse. Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We want to turn to 1 Peter and read some scripture in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, in verse 6, it says, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We want to think of this subject this morning. I thought we wanted to preach on this morning, more than enough grace for every need. Amen. More than enough grace for every need.
Amen.
The only reason that we stay where God leads us and places us is because of His grace. And it speaks about here in the book of Hebrews in the 4th chapter and verse 15, says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You know, I believe that Jesus cares for us even in our weakness and our infirmities in this life. I believe that he cares much for us. He's our great high priest, and he was tempted as we was. So as we come to the many things in this world and life, facing the many trials and the testings, and sometimes we think, well, we cannot continue on in this. Or we cannot face these trials. We cannot face these testings. We cannot do these things. But we can by the grace of God. He never called upon us. He's never commanded us to do anything. There's not anything required of us to do what he will not supply the grace of God for us to do. He'll supply that grace for us to do it. So, as we think about this thought this morning for a little while, and we want to think about Paul and his life, and I do not know what Paul's affliction was when he prayed to the Lord and asked the Lord to remove it from him. I don't know how great a suffering it was. No doubt it was great. And it wasn't only great, but it was going to continue. He wasn't going to be released or relieved of it. And so in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, we read about this morning of Paul's affliction, or the thorn in the flesh, and how that he sought the Lord that the Lord might remove it. So in verse 7 of the 12th chapter, or in the 12th chapter in verse 8, "For this thing I sought the Lord thrice, that he might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution, distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong." I don't believe that Paul could have said that. I don't believe any of us today can say it, only by the grace of God. Amen. Only by the grace of God. If you notice that ninth verse again, the Lord says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities." Now today, can we say that? We can today by the grace of God. You know, it's not easy. It has to be said only by the grace of God. We're not going to say it apart from the grace of God. And so, in that last part of verse 10, "For when I am weak, then am I strong." Amen. You know, there's been many times in our lives, I'm sure every one of us has thought about it, that we may have been strong physically, and we maybe wasn't serving the Lord as the Lord would have us to, and the Lord had to bring us down. We wasn't as strong physically as we was before, but when God got through with us, we were stronger spiritually. Amen. We were stronger spiritually. I thank God today that He knows what to do to bring us down to where we will appreciate him, and we'll be thankful for him and thankful for what that he has done for us and saving us by his grace, and that we will be willing to do the things that God would have us to do. Notice another scripture here in the book of Acts, in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, we find here, as Paul and Silas was in cast into the jailhouses and to the prison, there, because that they had preached the word of God, and at the midnight hour, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now this is, as we think about, is God giving songs in the dark hours. God giving song whenever the sorrow, the depression that they was in, they was whipped, they was beat, they was cast into the jailhouse. They did not know whether they was going to escape, they did not know whether they was going to be released, but yet they could still sing. And I don't believe any of us today, I wonder today if we was cast into the jailhouse for preaching the word of the Lord and standing for the word of God, I wonder, would we sing praises unto God?
Amen.
We could. How would we do it? How did Paul and Silas sing praises unto God? Only by the grace of God.
Amen.
Only by the grace of God.
Amen.
So, we find once again in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts where that Paul is writing to the elders of the church at Ephesus, and he's speaking about the things that he faced. And he's speaking in verse 21 as he's teaching them there in Acts 20 and 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greek, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, say that the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me. But none of these things move me. All right, Paul knew from his experience, everywhere that Paul went, as we study the book of Acts, we find that there was much opposition. And now, whenever he is teaching here of the things that the elders of the church needed to abide by, and the things that he knew that he was facing as he went there, and yet whatever it was that he was facing, he says, none of these things move me. Now, you know, today, the reason that we are moved many times is because we do not look to the grace of God for the help and the strength that we stand in need of. And that's what we need today. That's what we need to be. What we need to be ourselves. We need to be unmovable. I mean from the Word of God. Unmovable from standing the Word of God. There's too many today that is being moved, and they're moved too easily. And I think of this passage of Scripture many times, and that Paul was facing, that Paul faced a time after time, but he says, none of these things move me. Now why wouldn't he be moved? Simply because of the grace of God. It wasn't Paul, but it was God and his grace that made Paul what that he was and strengthened him and blessed him. And Paul knew that he had access to that grace that he could stand for the honor and for the glory of the Lord. Alright, notice right on the in the same or the next chapter, in chapter 21 and verse 12, when we heard these things, both we and they of the place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, I don't believe that Paul could say that apart from the grace of God.
Amen.
He was not only ready to be bound, but he was ready to die. Can we say that today? Actually today, if it come to the time that we was going to be killed because of preaching the Word of God? Now, we have the same God that Paul had. We have access to the same grace that he had. And I wonder today, would we really be willing to say that I'm ready to die? That I'm not only ready to be bound, but I'm ready to die. But I know that Paul couldn't say that, or didn't say that, only by the grace of God. Only by the grace of God. So, let's think of some other statements here this morning. In Philippians 4 and verse 13, notice once again what Paul speaks here in Philippians, the 4th chapter, and in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.
Amen.
Now Paul knew that he couldn't say that within himself. He was not able to say it, but he could say that by the grace of God. He could say that by the grace of God. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, Paul knew that the grace of God was, he had access to the grace of God, and he knew that God would bless him, and the trials and the testing that he faced from time to time as he went on, and he could make this statement, and knew by the grace of God that he could do those things. He's not saying that he could do it within himself. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know, when you think about strength and that people stand in need of, notice back in the book of Psalms, in the 19th Psalms, as David spoke there about his need, and Psalms 19 and verse 13 and 14, he says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Now notice verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Today, we must realize the strength that we have to serve God. God will provide that strength.
Amen, brother.
God will provide the grace that we might be able to serve Him the way that He would have us to serve Him.
Amen.
The way He would have us to serve Him. So David says here in this verse, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. He realized that his strength that he needed to serve the Lord, that it came from God. And so he sought the Lord. Another statement we think about over in the Old Testament is we think about Job. There is all of the things that was taken from him, his family, his children, his worldly possessions, his health, and all of those things. His wife said, why don't you curse God and die? And Job could say, the Lord giveth and the Lord take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I don't believe Job could say that apart from the grace of God.
Amen.
And all to think today what all that had happened, what all that had taken place in the life of Job. His worldly possessions taken from him. His children taken from him. And his health taken from him. His wife turned from him. But yet he could say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
But by the grace of God, he could still say that. He was still serving God. He hadn't turned from him. All right, let's notice another passage of Scripture. Here in Psalms 119. Verse 67. You know, God gives grace in the time of sickness, in the time of affliction, and the times that we need grace in this life. Notice in Psalm 119, verse 65, let's begin reading. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandment. Now notice verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. How many today here, no doubt you can look back on your life, and before the Lord afflicted, or before the affliction come to you, you may have been doing all right. But after you went astray, then the affliction came. Now notice, can we say this today as Paul, or David did down in verse 71? It is good for me that I have been afflicted. It was good for me that I have been afflicted. Can we say that today? We can, by the grace of God.
Amen.
And that's the only way we can say it. God puts us on a bed of affliction and puts us down. And there we begin to think about things. And then we begin to think about that maybe the reason why this affliction came, or why some of this trouble came sometimes. And can we say, it was good that I have been afflicted? It is good that God has put this upon me, that He will bring me back close to Him, that I might once again rejoice in the salvation that God has blessed me with. Let's notice over in 1 Peter. You know, I believe we're going through some trials and great testings today in all of our lives and the churches, all the true missionary Baptist churches today, and all of God's people. They're trying to serve the Lord. Notice in 1 Peter, the first chapter, speaks here about being kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Well, that's the great blessing that God has saved us, and we're blessed with being kept. But notice in verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Now we have that salvation and that blessing to rejoice in. And as long as we're not being persecuted, and long as the devil lets us alone, why, everything's going along pretty good. We rejoice in that, and we continue to rejoice in it. But notice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now I believe today that we are God is permitting us to go through some great trials and testings, as we said a while ago. And I like to think about this today in this way. How are we standing the tests? How are we standing the tests? As we mentioned in the beginning of the message today in the service, I know that I'm where I am because of the grace of God, or because God placed me there. And there's nobody else around for us to fellowship with, stands for the truth of the Baptist Church and Lord's Supper and many other things. And I know today the only reason I stay there, and I have stayed there, is because of the grace of God.
Amen.
The grace of God. And so he supplies the grace that we can do those things. And I believe the many trials and testings that we face today as the time goes on. We hear of this Baptist church and that Baptist church that has called themselves Baptist. And there we hear of them receiving alien immersion, first one thing and another. And we hear about this thing and that church and all these things of the world and all the things that are round about us that are tempted, temptations unto us. Now, we can't say that we are not tempted by these things because we are tempted with them. These things are a trial and a test unto us. God could move these false religions out if He wanted to. But He's leaving them here. Notice the passage of Scripture over in the book of Deuteronomy. This always makes me think about the test there, how that we can stand it. In Deuteronomy the 13th chapter, he says, "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or wonder, and the sign of the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you."
Amen.
In other words, he's permitting that false religionist to be there, that false prophet to be there. God could have moved him out of the way. But it says here, "The Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul." Now, we have something to prove in this life. We're not going to prove anything to God. He knows all that's going to happen and all he's going to do. But we need to prove something to somebody else.
Amen.
And how are we going to prove it? We're going to prove that we believe the Bible by standing for the Word of God. And when that false dreamer comes along and tries to sway us away, "Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord God, your God, proveth you." The Lord God tries you. And we're living today where there's all kinds of doctrines going on round about us as the time goes on. And I'll tell you, some of them, they can talk mighty smooth. They are workers of Satan. Satan is very shrewd and cunning. He knows how to work. And he can make people believe things not according to the Bible if people are not indoctrinated in the truths of God's Word. So we believe that we're living in a time of trial and testing here. And today, how are we standing that test? Are we standing? Well, let's go over now to the book of 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and let's study here a little bit. There's many other thoughts we could bring out this morning. But notice here in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, "Enough grace," or "more than enough grace for every need." I preached this message a while back and I titled it, "Enough Grace for Every Need." And I got thinking about it. More than enough grace for every need.
Amen.
And I like to think about the God's storehouse of grace. The millions of people that have been saved. The millions of people as the days go by that are calling upon the Lord, that God is bestowing grace upon them. And there we have access to that grace. But yet we've never taken anything from that storehouse of grace. It's just as full as it ever was. It's just as bountiful as it ever was. It's just as plentiful as it ever was. So they must be more than enough, isn't it? They must be more than enough for every need. Now notice this here in First Peter, the fifth chapter, in verse 10. Well, let's go back to verse 6 again. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, that he may lift you up, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, today, he does care for us. Be sober, be vigilant, or that is watchful, because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Boy, he's busy, he's working, and he has power. Now notice he says, whom resist? All right, let us turn right back to the book of James, and let us notice in the fourth chapter of the book of James how that it reads in the fourth chapter of the book of James and in verse 6. But he giveth grace, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Amen.
Now, many times Satan comes and he gets us really down. And it's because that we do not turn to the Lord, we do not realize and stop to realize that we have access to the grace of God for the help
Amen.
That we stand in need of.
That's right. Amen, brother. That's right.
And sometimes we worry. You know, it's a sin to worry.
That's right.
Amen. Sin to worry. Sometimes we get depressed. Sometimes we worry on and on with that thing. And Satan stays right there and he just keeps getting us farther down. But you know, when we turn to God and seek his help and we seek his grace and he blesses us, what happens? Satan's gone. You know, he came to Jesus and tempted him in those times. And he said he couldn't, and he said he left Jesus. He left Jesus. And so today, he leaves us alone whenever we turn to God. Now, he's not going to continue to let us alone. He'll be back.
Amen. Yeah.
But he has to flee. He has to go. So, here in this verse of Scripture here, chapter 5, chapter 4 in James, but he giveth more grace. He just keeps giving grace. It just continues to come. Every time that we call upon him, every time that we need him, he just keeps giving grace, more grace. Wherefore he hath, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And you know, when we're going to call upon God, when we're going to seek that grace, is when we are humble. When we are proud, we're not going to seek that grace. And we come down and humble us. We seek that grace. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Now we're going to have to do some submitting before we're going to do any resisting. We cannot resist within our own self and our own power. But when we submit ourselves unto God, he supplies the grace that we might resist.
Amen, brother.
And Satan is gone. Now notice here, again in 1 Peter the 5th chapter, how that it reads in this last verse here, in verse 10, he says, but the God of all grace, saving grace, resisting grace, serving grace, dying grace.
Amen.
And all today as we think about the men of God that has served the Lord and has lived for him and brought honor and glory to the name of the Lord. And you know what some of those men is doing? We think of some of them today. We think of Brother Healy. You know, the last things that Brother Healy did in this world, it wasn't something of this world, but the last strength that God gave him to do. He went to the house of God and he preached the word of God.
Amen.
How did he do it? By the grace of God.
Amen.
I know a man today down in Kentucky, Brother James DeBoard. He's on oxygen 80% of the time. He's not able to do anything else. But he goes to the house of God and preaches.
Amen.
Goes to the house of God and preaches.
Amen.
The only day he can do it, and is only doing it by the grace of God, because that he loves the Lord and because of what God has done for him.
Amen.
And that today is the reason that we continue on. I notice here as we come to a close here, that God, the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. He has called us by his grace. He has saved us by his grace. He has blessed us with eternal salvation to our soul. Notice he not only saved us, but he says, after that ye have suffered a while.
Yes.
Suffering grace. You know why we suffer in the service of God and continue to go on and stand persecution and people talks about us and all kind of things are said, and why that Paul and others back in other days, why that they was whipped and beat and cast into the jailhouses and prison? Why did they continue on? Why did they suffer? Because of that God had done for them, and they loved him. And that God supplied him with suffering grace. Grace to suffer for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only suffering grace, after that, ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. Now, I'm not talking about being sinless, but he's talking about blessing you with grace that you might become mature as a child of God. He will supply that grace. He desires that we become mature in the understanding of the Word of God. We grow up. Notice something else. He will establish you. He will supply the grace that you will become established in the truths of the Word of God. God has placed His church in this world, and He has called men and placed men of God over them. And it speaks back about it back in the book of Ephesians. Let's turn back there just a moment and notice how that reads there in the book of Ephesians in the 4th chapter. Of the book of Ephesians, in verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. What did he give them for? Who did he give them to? He gave them to the church, and verse 12, he gave them for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more tossed, children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. He will establish us that we will not be blown around in that way. Notice now, again, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen you. Strengthening grace, grace to be strengthened. Not on that, but he will settle you for today. It's one of the greatest things to become a child of God and learn the truths of the Word of the Lord and be settled in about the Scriptures and settled in a New Testament Baptist church, they're serving the Lord and bringing honor and glory to the name of the Savior.
Amen.
You know, there's a lot of running to and fro today. There's a lot of people today that are dissatisfied. There's a lot of people today that won't sit still long enough to listen to the truth of the Word of God and become settled. But God, if they'll only listen and yield, He will settle them. He's able to settle them. Notice this next verse. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. He's the one that does do all of the glory. He's the one that has died for us. He's the one that's supplied the grace. Today that we have access to that grace. I don't care how dark the hours may come. I don't care how far down we may seem to be. There's always access to that grace there. And He will help us.
Amen.
And He will always encourage us. May God bless you.